What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Sports Talk here on the Big 870 WWL. Mike DeTillo along with Charlie Long. Bobby Hebert will join us. The birthday boy will join us in a little while. Bob was at practices, the limited time he got to see it. I think it was 20 minutes they got to see. Then the Saints people, hey, you got to roll. And the Saints had their alumni day there too. So Bob, he told me yesterday I'll be there in between 4:30 and 4:40. So you'll be in here at that particular time. Talk to us about the little bit of practice that he got to see, and certainly meet up with a lot of the older players that had played with the Saints in the past. And man, what a coincidence. And they were as close of friends as you could find, Charlie, but both born same day, same year. Martin Anderson, Bobby Hebert.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. The Great Dane and the Cajun Cannon, both celebrating their birthday, 65 years young, as you would say, Mike D.
Oh, yeah, and so he's not going to give you the long thing about his pension plan and everything, but Bob's funny with all that stuff, but he'll be with us to join us to talk Saints football. He'll have his notebook out, and the good news is Devin Neal returned to practice today, and interesting how they're going to handle Devin, because – you know, Bob and I talked about this last night. If you were going with four running backs today, okay, you understand Alvin Kamara's one. Kendra Miller's going to be the two guy. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I think, has got that spot at three. And Velus Jones, for what he can do, and he's such a versatile guy, and that he's played receiver, he can return kickoffs, he would be the four guy. I don't know if this team keeps five backs on the 53-man squad. Do they play Devin Neal and kind of – he has a big game, and then what happens afterwards? That sort of muddies the water a little bit. But Devin Neal certainly before the – I think it was a hamstring injury that he had, that he showed some talent out there, and we all saw it the last few years at University of Kansas. Want to tell everybody, too, a little after 4:20, Chris Lowe, senior writer for ESPN, will join us to talk about the college football season, which is right around the corner. And week zero starts, and this coming Friday, Steve Geller and I will be in Thibodaux at Thibodaux Regional Medical Center's Wellness Center. And we'll be doing a little preview as Nicholls State kicks it off 12 noon Saturday against Incarnate Word. And one of the few times, man, Nicholls State, national television, to play Incarnate Word, very good football team, and Incarnate Word. They got some talent on that team, and just think, that's where Cam Ward started. That first time I ever saw him on the sidelines at Nicholls State, and he was quarterback. And, man, and I know one thing. I don't know what else the Titans got, but they got a hell of a quarterback in Cam Ward. And you just see it in the brief moments that he's played in the preseason, what type of talent he is. I just hope he don't get too beat up there, because their offensive line is El Stinko too. So they got issues there. But we'll be talking about that. And certainly Thursday we'll be at Treasure Chest out in Kenner, and we're doing a lot of sports talk there. Hope to have Bobby April on with us Thursday. And longtime special teams coach in college and pro football. Bobby's a former Nicholls State grad, and I think the biggest change I've seen in the last 5 years in pro football and in college, man, 55, 60, now even 70-yard, it's sort of routine. Hey, kid, get out there and kick it. Okay, I'm out there. And we saw 20 field goals last year made in the NFL from 60 yards or more. It took the NFL from 1960 to 2018, the end of the 2018 season, to get 20 total. Think about that time frame and what's happened in this 5, 6, 7 year framework. And so Bobby will talk about that, and also with the punting, we'll have him on Thursday during our show. One of the things, too, is that a little after 5:30, Coach O, Ed Orgeron will join us. So wish Bobby happy birthday and tell us some stories. And he kind of made it known officially, I guess, that he's got a little bit of an itch to come back to coach again. He surprised me at the when we were at the Bayou Hall of Fame. And first time I ever heard him talk about, I miss it. I miss it. But you know what? I heard Bill Parcells say about coaching, and he was like, man, it's like a narcotic. You really never get over it. You can say something else takes the place of it. Really doesn't. Yeah, that when you've coached for that long, so we'll get Coach O to talk about that and also other things across the college football world that he's really familiar with, and let him talk a little bit about Arch Manning. And him and I had this conversation that he was – at Newman to watch Arch trying to recruit him to go to LSU. And he made it the comment to me. He's like, man, he got the talent, and but he's got to prove it out on the field. But he could be the next Joe Burrow.
Mm. I like that comp, Mike. Did you hear the Arch kind of presser today where he spoke to the media? That's been circulating on social media a little bit, hasn't it, Mike?
Yeah, just a little bit about what Pawpaw said about I'm going back for I take it day to day. Now, listen, if you know Arch, that is exactly what you would expect from him.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, he's not going to tip you off about anything. But, you know, listen, I believe Grandpa. No, when Big Arch says it, you know, Little Arch, you know who he got it from, but it's typical of Arch. He's grown up in that environment. He knows what to say, how to say it. A lot of pressure on him. Also, you know, you think about, you know, Texas is rebuilding their offensive line too, similar to LSU. Got a lot of new pieces there and a new tight end, just like LSU. And so, tough foe right off the bat against Ohio State on the road, but I'd much rather play Ohio State next Saturday than five Saturdays from now because they got talent. Again, they haven't played together as a team. When you lose 17 guys to the NFL, Charlie, that's unbelievable. 14 right. guys get picked, three sign undrafted free agent contracts. That's a big chunk of your football team missing. And key people across the board, and how good they're going to be at quarterback, too. They got that former Alabama quarterback there that's going to start for them, and we'll see what happens. And great first week of the season with Ohio State, Texas, Alabama, Florida State, and certainly you can hear it right here on the Big 870 WWL. LSU Clemson. When we come back, we'll have on with us Chris Lowe from ESPN, their senior writer covering college football, right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL, Mike to tell you along with Charlie Long and on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line, senior writer for ESPN, Chris Lowe. Chris, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Yes, sir, Mike. I just wish I were right there in the heat. Was it Metairie? Is the Saints still training Metairie? Is that where they are?
Yeah. You don't want to be out in no damn heat. Not in this heat.
Oh, God. I remember that. I remember those days. I remember being down there circa 94, 95, and felt like it was the hottest place on earth.
Yeah, that humidity sort of gets you a little bit. You're good in the cooler area of the country. Chris, before we start talking SEC, I know you don't live that far away from, you know, Clemson, and kind of give us a preview of the Tigers, because the way I look at it, I think they're legit national championship contender with an experienced quarterback, really talented young man in Cade Klubnik. Their young receivers now got some experience. They've always got a heavy backfield. Their defense with two studs up front and Peter Woods, T.J. Parker. And seeing that schedule, it may be LSU's the toughest regular season game they play. And for LSU, Clemson might be the toughest game they play in the regular season. Your thoughts and strengths and weaknesses for Clemson?
I was there for a day in the spring, Mike. I spent a day there with Dabo and had a chance to talk to tons of the staff and watch them work out a little bit. They look to me like those Clemson teams did in that 2015-19 run when they won two and played for two others. Now, I don't know, you know, they don't have Trevor Lawrence. I mean, I think Klubnik's going to be really, really good. He ain't Trevor Lawrence, though. And I don't know that the defensive line is quite as loaded, but they've got at least two and maybe three pros in that defensive line. You mentioned Peter Woods and Parker. The kid that, you know, Dabo doesn't dip into the transfer portal very much, but he went and got the help kid for Purdue. And I tell you what, the returns on that kid are out of sight. I think he's really going to be a productive player for them on the other side from Parker. So when I look at that matchup that first week, you know, how does LSU hold up in protecting the passer, protecting us, Mike? Because they're going to come after him. You know, both their linebackers from last year are back. The top tacklers and from that Clemson. They've got a corner in Terrell who's, you know, I think most of your pro people would say he's one of the top 4 to 6 corners in college football. So they look a lot like those teams did back in 15-19. We'll see if they can, you know, if they plays out that way. But I agree. I think when you look at their schedule, playing LSU first in Clemson, if they get past that game, they're going to be, I would bet you they'll be at least touchdown favorites in every other game they play going forward.
Yeah, that seems to be a lot of different opinions, but that one on how the college football season plays out. But if they get past LSU, they have 6-point favorite or more on every other team that they play schedule-wise. Now, again, health got to hold up for Klubnik because I think he becomes the straw that turns the drink there for them. In the SEC, and Charlie and I have talked about this, I would pick Alabama to win it if they had Garrett Nussmeier at quarterback. Now, with Ty, I don't know enough of him, and I know he's been there a long time, but there's not a lot, you know, that you can say you know about Ty Simpson being the starting quarterback at Alabama. And in big games, your quarterback has to come through big. But you look at what else they have. All they have returning up front along the offensive line, their defensive line, their secondary is maybe as good as I've seen in quite some time. Their receiving core is loaded with Ryan Williams leading the group there. And they always have a bevy of backs. Chris, I really don't know enough about Ty Simpson to say maybe in some critical games, is he the guy to get you over the hump?
He's been there a long time. I mean, I don't know what that counts for. This is his fourth year on campus, and he's gone through quarterback battles before. You know, Mike Saban, when Saban was there his last year in 23, that staff thought going into spring practice that year that Simpson would be the guy. They really did. But he didn't play well. He didn't play with a lot of confidence, sort of went into a shell, and Milroe ended up winning the job. I think Jalen had a lot of support in the locker room, and he kept it 2024. But I know last year in talking to Kalen felt like that the way that Ty played in the spring and the preseason, they were very comfortable with him had he had to play last year. I think it counts for something that he's been on campus that long. He's played really in one game that was meaningful, and that was the South Florida game 2 years ago. Didn't play that great. But you still got to go do it, as you are sort of implying. You got to do it, man, and when it counts against good teams, week in and week out, and we don't know that about him. I know that physically they feel like he's a really good fit for what Ryan Grubb wants to do on offense. He can throw the football. He's athletic. He can move around. He can escape pressure. And he's not – again, it's not like you're putting a 19-year-old kid out there. I mean, that Ty's, I guess, 21, you know, maybe going on 22. So, you know, we'll see. I'll say this. 23, Bama got to the playoff when Milroe had that rough start. Then he played really well down the stretch. That team, I don't think, was as good around the quarterback as this team will be. And I think you can sort of stretch that to the defense. This defense under King Womack should be as good as Bama's had in a long time. And I'll tell you this, here's the caveat. If Deontay Lawson is healthy, and he says, I had a chance to talk to him recently, he's practicing, went through the scrimmages. If he's healthy right there in the middle at middle linebacker, look out. This defense will be lights out.
Chris, when you look at LSU, and it's obvious, when you lose four starters along the offensive line, that's a rebuild. And I always think that that's the final piece of the puzzle for any college or pro team, because that's always changes up front along the offensive line. But the one guy there that just gets rave reviews every time you talk to either coaches, players, people that have covered the team on an everyday basis is Tre'Davious Green. And they were like, man, there's no kind of combat with him to cover him. He's legit 6'7". He gives you that huge target downfield. And for Tre'Davious, he's renamed the red zone the green zone, because he's going to make the play in the green zone. I think he's the best athlete on LSU's team. Your thoughts on the weapons that LSU has? Certainly with Chris Hilton, a healthy Chris Hilton, that'll be big for them, along with Barry and Brown, who you got to see at Kentucky. But Tre'Davious Green is – he's sort of a unicorn player of that size who can really move and kind of box out people like a basketball player, which he is – you know, especially in short yardage, red zone situations?
Well, a couple of things, Mike. Number one, you know, when you lose a guy like Will, those guys don't come around every year. But I'll say this. It's not like LSU's taking everybody else's sloppy seconds up front in the offensive line. I mean, they've got good players. And you know, Green's one of them. And they don't – even though they have those types of guys who play in, you know, you play 3 years – your left tackle plays 3 years, well, you still probably got a lot of good players on your team that just can't get on the field because you can't get him off the field. And it gives other guys, and you add to it like LSU tried to do in the portal. That'd be one thing. The second thing is you're not breaking in a new quarterback. You know, I think it would be more of a concern if you're breaking in a brand-new quarterback. Nussmeier's been there a long time. He's seen it all. He played all of last year. He's going to think quicker, make quicker decisions. And I think the third thing, when you touched on this, is their core receivers, I would think, would rank up there with anybody's in the league. I mean, Nick Anderson's another guy that I think will be dynamite for LSU. And they've got different guys, kinds of guys at receiver that complement each other. So I don't know that you're going to have to throw the football down the field all the time, you know, 30, 40 yards to make big plays. I think they've got enough playmakers that you get it to them in space, whether it's out in the flats, whether it's across the middle, you know, go routes, what have you, that they're going to be able to make more big plays. And I think they got more of those kind of playmakers on the team that Nussmeier is not going to have to be a guy that's just chugging it down the field 30, 40, 50 yards every time. So, I go back to that first game. I think it's going to be fascinating because we know I'd be shocked if LSU doesn't score points and they're not potent and they don't move the football, and yet they're going up against Clemson defense. I think it's going to be pretty hard on a lot of quarterbacks they play this year. And let's not forget it. Clemson returns a bunch of guys that have played a bunch and veterans in the offensive line, but that's always sort of been the question mark about them the last few years. So I think this game, by and large, is going to get down to who plays the best in the offensive line in that game.
When you look at Texas, and I didn't realize this until we go to Manning Passing Academy. I got to talk to Lil Arch, and you know, we're talking about offensive line play, and he just sort of glared at me, you know, talking about LSU, and he was like, well, we got to rebuild up front too. And he said, we lost our tight end just like LSU did. And because, you know, you look at that game in week one on the road, and it's tough to play Ohio State, and they did lose 17 players to the NFL, 14 draft choices, 3 undrafted free agents. But they have some situations similar to LSU in the fact that they're rebuilding up front along the offensive line. Now, some of those guys, as you pointed out with LSU, are returning guys to Texas and at the tight end spot. But, man, a lot of expectations on Arch and the Longhorns this year.
Yeah, and I think Sark was ahead of the game a little bit, Mike. He knew even before – they officially got into the SEC, that he had to build his line of scrimmage up front, defensively, offensively, to be able to beat SEC teams in the postseason. So that's sort of what he's been – that's the way he's been operating now for several years. And they do have depth, and they have been able to develop guys. And Kelvin Banks was playing from the time he was a freshman. And he's gone up front. But they've got guys like that that they feel good about that, again, just like Campbell, if you're a Banks and you're starting from the time you're a freshman at tackle, you're going to have other guys behind you that they recruit that just can't get on the field because that guy's eating up all the snaps. I think that there's a lot of similarities with Texas as LSU, as you just pointed out. Now, the one difference, and I think this maybe bodes well, you know, if you're comparing the two for LSU, is, yeah, Arch has played situationally. I think we all agree that Arch has got the skill set to be a great football player. But he hasn't played on the stages and played nearly as much as Nussmeier has. He hasn't done it all year long. He's been the guy all year long, and Nuss has. And I think there's still, if you want to look at it from 1,000 feet away, there's still the question mark. What can Arch do week to week? How consistent can he be? What's he going to do now every week? Defenses are going to be game plan. They know they're going against him. How will he handle that? You know, you got to, like you said, the first game you're at Ohio State, you know, young quarterback, and even though this is his third year on campus, even if you don't play that well, sometimes it has a way of, you know, sort of beating you up a couple games and not just one. So there's still some question marks about him, even though he is a Manning, and even though I'd be shocked knowing that family the way I do, that he is not a really, really good football player. Can he be that in the first game, and can he be that the first half of the season? You know, we're going to find out. But I'll tell you one thing, having watched him play, seen film, and talked to people who know a whole hell of a lot more about it than I do, have seen him and been around him, he's got a chance to be special.
Chris, I wanted to circle back around to the LSU-Clemson conversation and your comment about, you know, whoever plays better on the offensive line should be able to come out with that victory, a really, really massive week one win. I want to get your thoughts on LSU's defensive front, because all we've been hearing from fall camp and the reporters who have been covering the Tigers directly keep talking about how impressive the defensive line has been, how impressive the secondary has also been, but specifically, you know, that front seven, obviously the linebacker core led by Whit Weeks and Harold Perkins and all that good stuff, but the defensive line and a lot of new faces on the defensive line as well. Bernard Gooden, the transfer from South Florida, has been wrecking shop, but three defensive end transfers after you lose Savion Jones and Braden Swinson in the draft, you really needed to address that position. They go out and get Jack Pyburn from Florida. They get Patrick Payton from Florida State. They get Jamari Butler from Nebraska. And all of a sudden, Brian Kelly was talking today about the depth of that defensive front specifically and how good that they feel about that rotation. And it feels like, yes, Clemson has the more proven defensive line, obviously, with TJ Parker and Peter Woods. And as you had mentioned, the Purdue transfer kid as well. But it feels like a lot of the buzz about LSU's defense, specifically up front, has been very, very positive.
Well, you just hit it, man. You hit the nail on the head, and Mike will appreciate that. So remember the old remember Parcells saying, Mike, where he says you can't just go, God, wait, 1-800 quarterback?
Yeah. Well,
in college football now, you sort of can do that, whether it's a defensive line, whether it's pass rushers. I mean, look at what Ole Miss did in the defensive line through the portal last year. They built a juggernaut of a defensive line all through the portal. And I think that's what LSU has tried to do. Now, we'll see if they're as good. Surely if they're even close to what Ole Miss was last year, the defensive line, with all these new faces you just threw out there, they got a chance to be special. But, no, that's the difference now in college football. You know, in the old days, and I'm dating myself as I approach 60, you had to wait for these guys to develop. You know, if you had a freshman who was raw, but you could tell he was coming, it might be a year and a half or 2 years before he's ready to play. Well, in LSU's case, just like Ole Miss last year, they go out and get guys who play, who've been on stages, who've shown that they can be disruptive pass rushers, that they can play and stand up in the middle where it's won, where those games are won or lost in the SEC. How many do they bring in just in the defensive line? Four?
One interior defensive lineman, I think three edge rushers.
Yes, four.
Right, so four guys. And if all those hit, maybe three of the four hit, maybe two of the four hit. But if they hit the right way, then your defensive line looks a lot different than it would have otherwise, and maybe even different than it did last year. So, you know, again, I think in this era of of the transfer portal, you've got to go in and use it. And certainly at positions like that, when it comes to up front, defensively, offensively, cover guys in the back end and receivers, of course, quarterback speaks for itself. I think 50, I think this is right, guys. I did something on the quarterback for the league last week. I think 8 of the 16 this year will have started their careers elsewhere. So half of your quarterbacks are transfers. But I think it's the same way in the defensive line, that you got to go find those guys who fit, guys who feel, you know, your needs. And clearly LSU thinks they've done that. I'm going to be intrigued to see what Peterson does this year. Perkins. I'm still going back to the old days, Patrick Peterson, Mike. But Perkins is a guy that I think we're all just waiting for him to break out again and be what he was as a freshman. They're going to play him in that hybrid role this year and just sort of let him go make plays. You know, if he is indeed that guy, then God bless everybody else trying to block that guy, because athletically, when he's healthy, you know, he's a blur.
Yeah, my thing is with Harold, go sick him. See the guy's got the ball? Go get him.
Go get him. Yep.
Chris, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always love when you come on. Great insights, buddy. And, hey, college football is here, brother.
Woo-woo.
Yeah, you bet. You guys do great.
Thanks, Chris.
Appreciate it. Good being with
Thank you, Chris. Chris Lowe, senior writer, and does also TV work for ESPN. We come back. The Cajun Cannon's back from whatever he got to see at the training camp sessions. We'll be back with the Cannon birthday boy right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL, Mike Dettelier along with Charlie Long, joined now by the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. Bob, first of all, happy birthday today. I know you're not a big birthday guy.
Mike, you know why I'm not a big birthday guy? Because where my birthday has always fallen, especially since you're playing football, it's always been during two-a-days.
Yeah,
so it's always been during football, and what ends up happening, you know, you're in the locker room, you're like a bunch of big kids. They end up being a bunch of pranksters. You know, they find out when your birthday is, and then they pull in pranks the whole day. I remember telling Scott Case, it was in Atlanta, and I said, no, the media guy got it wrong. Today's not my birthday, because you could be using the bathroom, and not number one, number two, whatever, and they'd get a cold bucket of water, ice, and pour it on you, and they'd come out of nowhere. Or, you know, when you jog, they might put some heat bomb and you have to check so you're not running out there. No, it's like you in junior high. So, and then, you know, that I've been continuing to cover football. So I've always been working on August 19th. And then the best thing ever happened to, I was a senior at Northwestern in Natchitoches. My oldest daughter, Ryan, was born on this day.
You see, I didn't know that till yesterday when you talked to me about it. I didn't realize Ryan. But the crazy thing is, not only Ryan born on your birthday, but you were best friends with Martin Anderson.
Yeah.
You two guys were born same year, same day.
Yeah, and then we figured out with his mom, and I just talked to Martin this morning. We had a long conversation, and you know, he's talking about, you know, his mom and all. We go hang out. You know, they get away from the cold weather in Denmark, and they go to southern France, and, boy, they had an awesome, like, villa and all that. I said, man, I don't want to go back home now. It was unbelievable. but meaning his mom's 93 right now, and Martin said, yeah, she got her mind. She's doing great. And we were talking one night, stayed up to about 4 in the morning, whatever, and we were figuring out the time change and all that, and we figured out, like, Martin was 6 hours older than me. So he got me by 6 hours. But, yeah, August 19, 1960, we always had lockers close to each other, not only with the Saints but in Atlanta. And it's amazing how we weren't twins. Now, Martin actually has a twin, but it's not an identical twin. Doesn't really look like him. It looks a little bit like his brother. He ended up being an ambassador for Denmark, like import, export. I mean, he was like, well, last time he was in India, like representing Denmark in the country of India. Then he'd be in New Zealand. Then he finally got to America. So, I mean, oh, Martin always tell, oh, my brother's living a way better life than me. He has a chauffeur and everything. No, he's like an ambassador. But, yeah, just hanging out with Martin. And but we'd be thinking on the same wavelength a bunch of times. Then we'd be looking at who these Leos, type A personalities. You know, Bill Clinton also is August 19th. You know, so you look at...
Well, I wouldn't have wanted to have y'all three hanging out together at the same time.
Well, especially if you were single. You know, that might be trouble there. But anyway, yeah. Boy, time flies by. You know, 65 years of age. You know, you talk about Medicare and all that. But I don't know. I feel like I'm like 29. I don't feel like I have a 43-year-old daughter. I'm not mature enough to be 65.
Okay, you're 65, but you're not mature enough to have a 40-year-old daughter?
No, a 43-year-old, no. I mean, because I think more like a 29-year-old, and it's amazing how, you know, when you think about, like, I don't know, when you're going to grow up, I go, why would I want to grow up? That's boring. You know, why would I want to do that?
My dad used to always say, I'm going to give you one bit of advice. Don't ever get old. You're going to age, but don't get old. In between your ears. Yeah, and I think about it at my age, your age, same thing. I mean, he was absolutely positively right on that. We'll come back to finish it up here in our number one of Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL right after this break. We'll be back with more Sports Talk right after this news break. And at 5:35, Coach O visits us here on the Big 870. We're going to news here on the Big 870 WWL.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.